I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On Podcast Network. Your San Antonio Spurs have won 4 games straight. I know, shocking. But they're looking really good. Their defense is playing up to par, finally. And they are 15-14 as the 6th game homestand continues. So what we're going to do today is take a look back. You know, what has been the difference? Why are they picking up wins? Is it something simple? Is it just they just playing at home where they play well? Also on the show, we're going to be looking ahead at the final 2 games in this 6-game homestand and maybe just look at the standings to kick around and see how the Spurs are doing versus the rest of the West and the NBA. To do that, I am joined by my colleague at News 4 San Antonio, Jim Lefko. Jim, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks again for having me. It's always fun to chat Spurs with you.
You know, last week we talked about this upcoming 6-game homestand, and wow, our predictions are, I think they're out of the water now. they're, four games straight. They haven't lost a game to start this 6-game homer. What do you attribute this to? Is it something as simple as, well, they play good at home and they don't play good in the road?
Well, there is some of that. The fact that they've held their last 3 opponents under 100 points, that usually bodes well in today's NBA. And, 97, 86, and 87 points in those last 3 wins, you're usually going to win when you hold your opponent under 100 in the NBA, unless it's some kind of atypical defensive shootout. I think you have that. You have the revenge factor. If I'm not mistaken, I think they lost all 4 of these teams earlier this season.
So, right.
You like to pay back, and they played some pretty good fourth quarters when they needed to, and they've been far enough ahead where they've been able to rest players in the fourth quarter when they needed to. So it's almost been a perfect homestand, resting veterans and beating teams that you could and should beat. And you mentioned our predictions. I think I predicted 4-2 on this.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you did. Yeah.
I'd like to amend that to 5-1 at least, and maybe 6-0. They played really well. Their confidence is high. They seem to be having fun, and it's just neat to see them enjoy themselves on the court. I think it was 2 games ago when DeRozan gave Rudy Gay a big hug
right.
On the court. And, DeRozan's an excitable guy, but he's not one to usually, full-body man love on the court there. But it was kind of fun to see him enjoy whatever great play Rudy had just done. So I think they're having a lot of fun out there together, and that's what happens when you win 4 in a row.
There's so many things that you can touch on in the last 4 games for San Antonio. One thing I want to touch on is Jakob Poeltl. He's really coming around. He's really looking like he's starting to mesh well with the system, with the players. He's running the pick and roll solid with Patty Mills and the guards. Again, another boost for San Antonio in this 4-game winning streak.
Yeah, I think the fact that he's taking advantage of playing time. The NBA is all about minutes. You can't score on the bench. You can't rebound on the bench. So with Gasol injured for, several games now, no idea when he's going to be back, Poeltl has stepped into that role, admirably. What I'm wondering is what's going to happen when Gasol comes back. Is one of those two players trade bait if they want to make a deal before the deadline? And I really like Poeltl's future. Unfortunately, I think he would have more potential on the open market than Gasol because of his big contract.
Right.
Let's not trade him away just yet. I'll echo what you're saying. He runs the court well. I really like what he does on the pick and roll. He rolls well. He's a good finisher. He's got pretty good hands. And I think he's another one who it took a month or so to get a feel for what the Spurs wanted out of him and what his role really was. Even big guys sometimes have to, figure out exactly where they're supposed to be on the court and what the coach wants to do when they are on the court. And I think that's all coming together for him. I like his intensity on the boards, and he's a good finisher at the rim. So all in all, a really nice pickup. Somebody I thought potentially was just a throw-in,
right.
A big deal that brought DeRozan here, but he's proving he's a lot more than just a throw-in. He's a major contributing factor off a very solid bench, which is always a staple for the Spurs.
What got into Bryn Forbes? The last time we spoke, you had some words regarding his play, but my goodness, I mean, he put in a 20-plus night performance in this 4-game win streak. He's shooting the 3 ball quite well. At one point, it was 60% from the 3-point line, as well as 60% from the field. That may have changed with the recent win over the Clippers, but nevertheless, there's a fire. It's been lit under him, and he's really taking advantage of it.
Well, I think he might have heard me. He heard me jumping on him, and that was all the motivation.
You hear that, listeners? Credit Jim Lefko. Follow him on Twitter, @JimLefko. Give him all the love.
And as we said earlier, when he's on, he's really an effective player. And when he's not hitting, he's not so effective. So I think what the Spurs need from him is consistency. And you need to know if you're going to get, you know, I think 12 to 14 points a night, you know, a couple assists, a steal or two, a couple rebounds. He needs to be more toward the norm. And the highs and lows, I think, are what drive coaches nuts. You know, those 1-for-9 shooting efforts where it just isn't there. You know, if he can minimize those and maximize just the solid performances, you know, the 10, 12 points and not committing any turnovers and good floor game, because he's a smart player. I think part of it too is he hasn't been exposed defensively as much, you know, on this home stand. He's a solid defensive player, but he's not a candidate to make the all defensive team just yet. And that's an area he's working on. So if he can play with confidence, hit that 3-point shot and just be consistent, you know, give the team what they need. And, you know, maybe it's a matter of Popovich, if Bors misses his first 3 or 4 shots, concluding maybe this isn't his night. But we've seen during this homestand is he is, you know, hitting that 3-ball and he's playing a good floor game. So hopefully that's what we're going to see the rest of the season, that consistency night in and night out.
And we're not expecting him to get an invite to the NBA 2019 dunk contest, are we?
Yeah, that was amazing. That game where he was 5-for-5 from the 3-ball and didn't dunk, didn't finish his dunk. But, you know, it gives you something to laugh about. And I think he laughed it off. And he's a good kid. I think he can laugh at himself. And while that's embarrassing on the one hand, when you're winning and winning handily, it's a lot easier to take a missed dunk than if you lose a game by 1 point and look back at all the things you could have done differently. So he probably got a little bit of ribbing from his teammates on that one. But, boy, when you're 5-for-5 from 3-point line, I think you get the last laugh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a phenomenal night during this 4-game winning streak. Let me talk about one more player before we talk about the team as a whole. Rudy Gay, in my opinion, Jim, I think he's been quietly kind of like the unsung hero in all this. People look at Bryn Forbes, rightfully so, you know, his shooting touch, Jakob Poeltl, DeMar DeRozan is still DeMar DeRozan. But quietly in the background, Rudy Gay has been really doing some yeoman's work for San Antonio.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, my wife is sick of me saying when I'm watching on TV how much Rudy Gay is my favorite player. I just love his game. I love his professionalism, his veteran savvy. He's shooting the ball really well. Was he 8-10 last night from the field? I mean, he just brings everything to the game, and I really like that he's starting. You know, last year they brought him off the bench, and I'm not sure how healthy he was, but he's starting now, and boy, with him and Aldridge together, that's a nice front line. And they've been experimenting with Poeltl in the starting lineup too, but I think the way that Gay and Aldridge can rebound together, I think that's a pretty strong front line, and they both have that nice mid-range game. And you know, last night, when the Spurs beat the Clippers, Rudy 8-10 from the field, LaMarcus 12-14 from the field.
Wow,
that's astounding. That's 20-24 between your two big men. You know, and you do something like that, you're going to be hard to beat, and it's contagious. You know, the whole team shot the ball really well at 58% from the field, and got off to a hot start and really never cooled off. And that's how you take care of teams. Even a good team like the Clippers, it's hard for them to overcome a deficit when the other team is seemingly hitting every shot. And the irony is that they really haven't gotten huge nights from DeMar DeRozan the last two wins, but they haven't needed them.
Right.
You know, what do you have, 5 or 6 points a couple of games ago? And even last night, he had 14, but, you know, played 29 minutes, hit 6 shots from the field. But the guys in the 20-point range were Rudy and LaMarcus. So I think there's no egos there. Certainly, they all three like to score, but I don't think DeRozan is sulking because he, you know, only scored 14 points. You know, he's happy that his teammates are picking up the scoring slack. And the game, you know, the game plan last night was to go down low and let Aldridge take advantage of some matchups. And he came through with flying colors, and there's Rudy, you know, his wingman, pretty much doing the same thing. So you can get 20 points out of both those guys and keep their minutes under 30. That's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, it definitely is. And with 8 players in the win versus Clippers scoring in double figures, again, you know, you don't really need that huge monster night from DeMar, as the Spurs proved. You know, from LMA to Patty Mills, we mentioned Brent Forbes, Rudy Gay. I mean, everybody was contributing. And I think long-term, that'll bode well for San Antonio and DeMar DeRozan, where he doesn't have to feel the pressure of carrying the team offensively and having to have a big night, and then may tax him as the season goes on. But Jim and I, we're going to take our first break. We get back, we're going to continue talking about the Spurs hot streak. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko, News Force San Antonio. Follow him on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. Jim, got to talk about this. It's kind of been on the lips of Spurs fans. You're looking at the wins, you know, outside of maybe the Laker game. You know, they played a team, Utah, that is, you know, kind of been, you know, up and down, not the same Utah team last year. They played against a depleted LAC team. They didn't have Lou Williams. They didn't have Luke Mamabute. And they played against the Suns, who are the Suns. Does that factor into anything, knowing that, okay, yeah, they're picking up wins, but, you know, they're not signature wins. They're not good wins.
No, I think any win's a good win. I think if you go back to that Laker game, I believe they were down 10 in the fourth quarter and stormed back and just, you know, really took control of that game. And that's what sets the tone for what followed. It's not the Spurs' fault. The teams are, you know, not 100%. And I would argue the Spurs aren't 100%. You know,
yeah.
He's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But the fellow named DeJounte Murray isn't around, and then Pau Gasol hadn't been around. So those are two guys that arguably, you know, are going to be mainstays in this lineup this year. And certainly they've had to learn how to play without Murray. But no, I don't think you look at those as negative wins, because they're playing really well. They're putting teams away that need to be put away. And they've got another one tomorrow night, Saturday, against the Chicago, where, you know, this is a team that's down on its luck too. But any team can beat anybody. You know, we saw the Spurs go into Phoenix and get hit pretty good there. So, no, I think you need to maintain consistency and play with confidence. And that's what this team is doing right now. And, you know, we want to focus on that six-game homestand, but, you know, they go away for a game and then they come right back. So
yeah.
It's really a stretch of 7 out of 8 at home. So they've really got a chance to make hay here. And I'm not going to say they're going to win 8 in a row, but they're going to be a lot closer to winning 8 in a row than not. So it's a nice stretch of the season where they're taking advantage of what the schedule has given them. It caught up with the Clippers last night because they've been on the road so much. So the NBA schedule maker is kind of fickle, and this is the time when the Spurs need to take advantage of the fact that they're eating home cooking and maybe playing against some teams that on paper they're better than, and they're taking care of the business that they have to.
And what's amazing is the fight, despite the fact the Spurs are 15-14, they're not really outside of that top 8 spots for the postseason, nor, you know, really, you know, buried at the bottom of the barrel. They're still hanging in there for that 8th, 7th, maybe 6th seed.
Yeah, and again, we're still in, you know, mid-December, but they're in a nice position right now at 15-14. What's crazy is the Warriors have 10 losses. So they're only 4 games away behind the Warriors, but they're, again, only 1 game away from the Timberwolves, who are 14th. So between 2nd and 14th on the loss column, you're only separated by 5 games. And as we said before the winning streak started, you know, you are what your schedule and your record say you are. And at this point, the Spurs are a game over 500. Nice place to be. It puts them 10th in the NBA in the West, but only a couple games behind the 8th spot. So let's say they take care of business in our next 2 games here and the teams above them lose a couple. They're right where they need to be. But again, I think fans like to do that scoreboard watching and see where the standings are each day.
Do, yeah.
I don't think the players are as focused on that. I think they just know they're playing well right now. And if they keep playing well, it'll sort itself out. I don't remember a year when there were so many teams bunched together like this. It's really crazy. And here the Clippers are, they were riding really high and they've lost, 4 out of 5? So they've settled back a little bit. You know, the Nuggets are maintaining. I still think it's Golden State's conference to lose, and they'll get it figured out. I still say, look beneath the Spurs. You know, everybody wants to look above them, but look at the teams right behind them. The Rockets, they're 13-14, and I don't think anybody expects them to stay under 500. So that's a team that I still think, you know, potentially is the second best team in the West. The Timberwolves are a half a game behind the Rockets, another team that I like a lot, and then the Spurs are going to get to see them again near the end of the homestand. Utah, I think people are souring on them a little
yeah.
bit, and the Pelicans at 500. So you got 4 teams beneath the Spurs. They're all, in their minds, think they're playoff teams. And certainly the teams above the Spurs, you know, have that same, you know, feeling about their situation. So it's way too early to really come to any conclusions here, other than the Spurs have put themselves in a nice spot. And I just think the teams below them are more of a threat than the teams above them. I don't know that Dallas and Sacramento are going to stay above the Spurs too much longer, although I do like what the Mavericks have done so far. So we'll see. That's what the fun part of the season. We don't have to get this thing settled in mid-December. There's, you know, 2/3 of the season still to go.
Yeah, exactly. The Spurs are in prime position. They're not blown out of the water quite yet. Season's not over before it even begun. The Spurs are looking good. And one thing that was a common thread, whether it be pregame or postgame, whenever Pop or the players spoke, they talked about needing time to come together. The new team, new faces, learning new playbooks, et cetera, et cetera. Got to ask you a big question. Have they turned it around? Do you feel this Spurs team has turned things around and now we're going to see brighter days ahead as the season moves on?
Well, yes and no. I'm not sure they ever had lost it. When they came into this homestand, it had dropped, 4 out of 5. You know, a lot of people thought the sky was falling. They were under 500, which is rare territory for them. You remember that big stat they started the season with only, 48 or 9
yeah.
days under 500 in the last 20 years. and now they've added some days to that. But again, you're not as bad as you look when you're in the midst of a losing streak, and you're not as good as you look when you're in the midst of a winning streak. I think you need to kind of find the norm, and the norm right now is about a 500 team. They're game over. They're playing pretty well. And have they turned it around? Well, they've turned around that losing streak and turned it into a winning streak. But you know, you have to look at what goes into a loss and what goes into a win. And I think the takeaway for me over the last couple of weeks is they've found some chemistry. They're playing some pretty good defense, which, you know, we all agreed was their their Achilles heel at the start of the season. And they've kept three of their last four opponents under 100 points. And yes, those teams have either been, you know, not so strong or been without some of their key players. But, you know, you got to give the Spurs a little bit of credit, too. You know, there's some defense being played. And, you know, if the new norm is 110, you know, the way we used to think of 100 points, well, you know, holding somebody to 87 points is really impressive. That's a long way from 110. So, yeah, what you can conclude at this point is I think they're going to be a salty team that that continues to hopefully win a few more games than it loses. I'm not ready to say they're a 50-win team yet, but I think we're still looking in the mid-40s. If they can stay injury-free and beat the kind of teams they're supposed to be, then keep this winning feeling going at home and then maybe pick up a couple of road W's that you know, we might not expect them to get.
Yeah, the road still needs to be tested out, or at least a proven ground for San Antonio. Their road record is atrocious. Their stats across the board is just night and day compared to what they do at home. So we'll see. You know, yeah, I agree with you. They're definitely taking advantage of this great homestand. And I thought, and I think you may have agreed with me, I'm not too sure, I don't remember, but this is what the doctor ordered heading into it, because they were coming off some bad losses on the road. Six at home is doing well for them, and they're looking great. Hopefully it will continue. But speaking of continuing, Jim and I, we're going to take our final break. We get back, we're going to take a quick look ahead at the final two games of the six-game homestand. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko. Jim, the Spurs got two more games. Who do they got, and what do you think?
Well, they got Chicago Saturday night. The Bulls aren't scaring anybody. They've had some internal turmoil. They've been through a coaching change. Personnel has changed. But as we found out when the Spurs went to Phoenix, you can't take anybody for granted in the NBA. And if the Spurs play the kind of basketball they've been playing, focus on defense, hit their threes, get off to a nice start, the Bulls should be win number five in this winning streak for San Antonio, which then leads to the Monday game, the homestand finale against the Sixers. Good team. You know, I don't think anybody doubts that the Sixers are a playoff team and could make some noise at the top of the Eastern Conference. But, you know, I like the fact that if the Spurs bring a five-game winning streak into that game, the last thing they want to do is conclude an excellent homestand with a loss.
Right.
So at this point, if you maybe make a prediction, I think I'd look at a 6-0 homestand. And if you really want to be optimistic, right after that, they go to Orlando for one game. And Orlando's not a world beater. And then they're back at home for Minnesota. So, you know, in a perfect world, you're looking at potentially 8 in a row. Which, you know, back in the day, that wasn't that atypical for the Spurs. Reeling off 8 or 10 in a row is, you know, it came to be a routine. Am I willing to say they're going to do all that? No, because, you know, at this point, I still need to see a little bit more to believe that they're, you know, capable of winning eight in a row, two of which will be pretty salty opponents in Philadelphia and Minnesota. So it's set up nicely for them. They've certainly regained their momentum. And as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, they're playing with fun. And I think that's a key thing if you're a fan. You know, you want to see the body language, you know, the just the way they interact with each other, the support from the bench, the smiles on their faces.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that's associated with winning, but a lot of it's associated with how they're winning. And it's a fun time to follow Spurs basketball.
It definitely is. The Spurs team is looking great right now. I'm enjoying it. And outside of the wins, I like the team confidence. You mentioned it. Not only just like DeMar DeRozan showing some fire on the court. Patty Mills, he's really been getting in a player's face, whether to rejoice with them or to pump them up, or even just when he makes an excellent play, he gets the crowd into it. I love seeing that type of energy from this Spurs team. We didn't see that to start the season, so hopefully
that's
it's
a good point.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. I don't think we saw that out of them. And it's little isolated plays that to me mean more. I mean, last night when the Spurs beat the Clippers, LaMarcus Aldridge hit, I think it might have been his first three of the season.
It was, the top of the key.
The ball was rotating around, and it just ended up in his hands, and he's out there, and he swished around from the top of the key. And, you know, big smiles all around for that one too. And, you know, there was a push for him to shoot more threes a year or so ago. And he's got such a great low post game that you don't usually see him out there. But that's one of those little moments, you know, kind of like that big DeRozan-Gay hug on the court. That it just makes you smile. Yeah, it makes you understand that these are, you know, professional athletes that get just as much enjoyment out of winning as the fans do. And it's those little moments in these games that lead to the big moments and ultimately the victories.
Yep, and hopefully there'll be more victories ahead. But Jim and I, we're done talking. We want to hear what you have to say. Do you think the Spurs are riding high and it will continue? Or are you kind of still kind of cautious regarding this winning streak they're currently riding? You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. And speaking of the Spurs Zone, make sure to go to the Spurs Zone at News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. Jim had his weekly column. Excellent read. You got to check it out. It's on the Spurs Zone. Also, you, aside from this podcast, everything under the sun when it comes to Silver and Black is on the Spurs Zone. Go check it out. Jim, take it away.
Well, two ways this weekend that they can follow us. So one, obviously, on Twitter at Jim Lefko. And then Saturday at 3 o'clock, we're going to do a Facebook Live with a few folks from the station. That'll be available on News 4 San Antonio. And we'll be talking Spurs. Imagine that. The Chicago game and looking back at some of the things that we discussed today. So one more way for fans to interact with us.
Go check that out. Please, please, please go to the – that's on the News 4 Facebook. I'm correct, right?
Correct.
Good place
to find us.
Yep. Yeah, the News 4 Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, go listen and watch. Now you can watch Jim talk. How about that? Instead of listening to him talk. And, it's going to be great. Go check it out. But for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.